Blog Talk Radio.
It's good to know Jesus this morning. It's a Sunday morning with the bishop. We got some issues that we need to talk about. First, we need to talk about being true to thyself. And we need to talk about people coming to God in a holy and divine way. We need to talk about people need to repent of what's going on with them in their life. We're concerned about the whole world. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. Yet though I walk through the valley shadow of death, I feel no evil there with me. Thy rod that failed to comfort me. We got so many people is roaring lion. They turn to little kitty cats and they don't stay focused with God. And I want to say to you, your healing is a moment away. Your breakthrough is a moment away. I want to let you know that God is able to heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. One young lady come to me and she said, my money tied up. I told her, when you go back home, your money gonna be untied. She ain't called me back to let me know it's untied, because she was interested in the materialistic. She wasn't interested in the spiritual part of life. And we got to be concerned about the spiritual part of life. And some are so caught up with selfish stuff, we lose the power of the Almighty God and the power of divine healing. Right now, we're living in a multi-complex world. We're living in a dual evil type of spirit. And you got to be strong enough to overcome the wares of the devil or evil spirits that control body, mind, soul, and spirit. And when we look at Satan, Satan wanted to be as God. He wanted to take over, but he couldn't. So some of you have that same spirit. I can get what I want, and I don't need to do no more. Everything is more important than meditating on your children, on God, and what God can do for you. This morning, I like to talk about Dan being a strong person with God, that you made your covenant with God for your healing, for your deliverance. Whatever you need, you have made a covenant with God, and it'll work. But some of you are so, what is the word I want to use? Got hidden agendas and lie so much. A liar cannot tarry in God's eyesight. Let me say that again. A liar cannot tarry in God's eyesight. The liars have gave over to the devil already. The liar have already is in the camp with Satan. Because you said the lie is your truth. But a lie is not your truth. The lie is the truth of the devil. So some of you are caught up in lies. And as you caught up in those lies become your truth. And as become your truth, you don't know which way is up. So this morning, some of you are caught up lying about your finance, about your tax, lying about your husband, about your children, just caught up in a game of lies. And you say, well, it's all right. Don't nobody know. But God set high and God set low. He knows your every thought. you know your desire. So some of you this morning is caught up. And you're saying, Bishop, how can I get a loose? You caught up in trying to keep up with somebody else. You have caught up and stopped being happy, not being your really self. You caught up because you're doing something different. You caught up because you're not serving the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. You caught up because you have turned away from God, and you're lying to yourself. The Bible says, lie, you cannot tarry in my sight, not in God's sight. You lie about your money. You lie about your health. You lie about your friends. You say, oh, that ain't happening. That's the devil. When you caught up with witchcraft, when you caught up, you're going to lie. And you're going to say, well, that's all right. Don't nobody know. But God knows your heart. God knows your. And this morning, many of you are caught up in a web of lies. Well, I ain't got the money to fix the house today. I ain't got the money. What if a man gains the world and loses his soul? What if you gain all the money, but you ain't fixed the house up? You gain all the money, you ain't bought your pair of shoes. You gain all the money, you haven't paid tithes or gave an offering or seeded. Because you're living a lie. And the Bible says, a liar cannot tarry in God's eyesight. Oh, that ain't me, Bishop. Why is not you when you are made God out of liar? When God told you what to do, God told you what to pray for. And some of you, a lady told me, Bishop, I need to get my money. She got her money, ain't heard from her. No, she got it. Because once you pray for something, God will give it to you. And with you too busy going to the casino, you too busy gambling, you too busy doing everything, buying clothes, buying shoes, buying cars, you've got what God told you. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And some of you have forgot only what you do for God last. You done forgot to be happy. You done forgot love and joy and peace. You just saying, if I can get away with this lie, you lie. And you don't think nobody gonna catch you with your lie. I ain't going to try to catch you, but God going to get you. You'll never be successful. Let me say it again. You can cut the phone off, cut the TV off. You'll never be successful. I doubt you honest with God. Not with me, with God. When you make a vow to God, you don't take it back. But some of you, I'm too tired. I was sleeping. Somebody came. You got all kind of excuses. Who gave you the excuse? The devil gave you the excuse. The lady said, I'm about to lose my house, Bishop. I said, you ain't going to lose it. She got the money. I ain't heard from her no more. You got to understand when God give you a preview, he's trying to let you know you can overpower the devil. But you're living a lie. You're talking a lie. You're acting a lie. And you're saying, well, why I'm doing that? Because you have sold your soul to materialistic, to cars, home, your children. Some of you take care of your grandchildren. You ain't got time for God because you're too busy taking care of your daughter kids, your sister kids, Uncle Bubba kids. And God told you, God gave you a mission. Well, I got to see what happened to my son. what happened to my daughter. That ain't your job. Your job is to raise those kids, not your grandkids. Your job is to do what God wants you to do. Some of you done sold out. You sold out to the devil, and when you sold out, you can't have the power to love and say thank you, say all is well, because you make an excuse. I'm sick. I can't get well. That's your lie. That's your lie. That's not God's lie. That's your lie. The doctor said, but what did God say? God said the wages of sin is death. The gift of God, and some of you living a lie. You've been living a lie. That's why you ain't successful. You're not honest with yourself. You're not honest with God. The old lady used to sing a song down south. I made a vow to God, and I won't take it back. Have you made a vow this morning to God to be your best self, to be not what your children want you to be, not what your husband or your wife wants you to be? You be your best self because you want God to guide you. The lady said, "Busy, my husband running around." And I said, "Well, he's down at the club." I'm going down. I said, "Well, go down there. Don't say nothing." Time she said, though, she seen him sitting there with a woman. She want to fight. Got back. I told her, I said, "Didn't I tell you just go look? Don't say nothing. Sometimes you open your mouth too quick and you cut your blessings off." My grandmother used to say that. You don't give God a chance to work. You want to work in front of God. You cannot work in front of God. What have you promised God in March, April, and May? Some of you ain't going to be around him. You're going to be gone. Let me say it again. Some of you ain't going to be around because you're disobedient to God. I don't care if it's cataract, tumor, high blood. The devil comes to get you to take you out. He'll take you out with cancer. He'll take you out with cataract. He'll take you out with surgery. But if you live in the holy life, the anointed life, the devil can't touch you. The devil will lie and say, "You don't need to do none of that." The devil will lie and tell you that you are right when you haven't prayed and asked God for a total deliverance. When you ask God for a total deliverance, he'll do it. This is Sunday morning with the bishop. I want to prophesy this morning, you that are listening. Trina, that there will be more death in these migrated homes. They just said this morning they found some kids that had died because of measles. Well, what's happening? They are not vaccinating these kids, and they're bringing them in, and they're putting them with your granddaughter, your son, and they're going to die. And then they done killed 130 people already over in Israel. And ain't nobody, Biden ain't said stop. The Democrats ain't said stop. And the Republicans said, so mass murder in the month of March and April like you never seen. Not with all the shooting and people going crazy. Because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life, and they have turned their back away from God. Well, I don't need God now. I'm all right. I don't need God. I got money. I don't need God. I got a new car. And you lay up in the bed. You go downtown and shop. You don't realize that God got you on a mission, and you're just traveling through this world to do what God wants you to do. How many of you told this morning, I love you? How many of you told, be happy? Got up arguing, went to bed arguing, went to sleep mad, woke up mad, because you're not living your true self with God. I want you to think about that next week. Is you really stop lying to yourself? Oh, I'm all right. You know you ain't all right. When you stop lying, see, the devil make a lie too when it ain't true. And lots of you that call me be lying. I just listen. I'm like, okay, bye. Because I know you living a lie with the marriage, with shacking. You living a lie with your health. You ain't really asked God to heal you because you ain't repented. You ain't said, God, forgive me for my sin and heal this rheumatism. Heal this cancer. Heal this cataract, this tumor. You're not living your best self. You living for somebody else to see you. And you letting your children run you till you run them. And then here you come, your grandkids, they run you. So you ain't got no life with God. You have sold out to the devil. They curse you out. They do all kind of stuff to you. You say, I got to go through this because I'm a senior. The devil done told you you're too old. The devil done told you you were blind. You got to live this morning your best. A lie cannot tarry in God's eyesight. I want you to say this morning, I'm living my best self. And I know that God can raise me up to another level. And when God raised you up, you ain't got to lie to yourself about yourself. You have not because you ask not. I heard the president say he set back or come back. Yeah, they set back because they're not living the true word of God. Thou shalt not kill. And they killing. They sponsor killing over in Egypt. Crane. And the Republican is lying. And the Democrat is lying. So all of them is lying about what they're doing. They're not living the truth. I want to pray this morning that you make a change in your life. Not for your husband, not for your son, your daughter, for yourself. That God will give you the knowledge and the wisdom to go to the next level. Start in March. March is the healing month. The third month. It's the healing month. As we have a healing campaign over to Detroit, and I talked to Mama Jo, she wanted to come down to Louisiana for 3-day healing service, because this is the healing month. For you to heal what's been bothering you.
He's a lily of the valley, a bride.
Brother Sam Cook was telling where our ancestors come from, how we had to fight for what we got. It wasn't about, it was about racism, white supremacy. But change gonna come tonight, morning, in your life. And you, as you said, Bishop, I'm trying to do my best self. Stop trying to be what somebody else wants you to be. And be what God wants you to be. Make up your mind. You're not living for your husband, for your wife. You're living for what God wants you to do, man. What God wants you to do, woman. If you overlook what God told you to do, you're going to miss your blessing. You're going to miss trying to keep up with somebody else. Change going to come through you. Stop the line. Stay focused.
But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
No, oh, Or sacred, there isn't a greater love story than the story of the prodigal son. Jesus dramatically tells of God's love and God's patience and God's long suffering and God's concern about man in this passage. He intended to show, first of all, the danger of self-righteousness in the characterization of the son that stayed at home. Although he stayed at home, although he did not go astray, although he did not engage in wild and riotous living, when his brother was redeemed and was regained, he was too selfish to come in and join in the banquet and celebrate the recovery of his lost brother. So that Jesus intends for us to learn in this that it is as dangerous to stay in the church and be selfish as it is to go out but finally come back. Now the theme of this passage is love. And Jesus intended to show us that God is a God of the law. Now, Jesus also said that God was not the God of the living, or rather of the dead, but a God of the living. By that, he did not mean that he turned his back on you when you die. Yeah. But he rather meant that no man is dead with God. Yeah. And David had us to know that we cannot escape to any realm where God is not. Yeah. If he went into the heavens, if he went to the utmost parts of the earth, if he made his bed in hell, behold, God is there. Yeah. So God is the God of the lost. You do not believe that he's the God of the lost, make up in your mind to come back to God. And like the father of the prodigal, his arms will be wide open. And a robe will be waiting, you understand, in his one robe of blessing. Now, I said the theme of this story is love. Jesus in this chapter tells of three things that were lost. First, he tells of lost sheep. Yeah. Secondly, he tells of lost money. Yeah. Thirdly, he tells of a lost son. Yeah. In the case of the lost sheep, the shepherd went back over his steps and over his traveling the day, the previous day, and searched in every ravine and every mountainside and every valley, until he had regained the sheep that was lost. The woman who lost one of her coins of ten swept in every corner and under every bed and behind every door until she had found her lost coin. But then there's no word of anybody having gone out to look for this lost son. You see, in the case of the sheep, we have the loss of property. In the case of the lost coin, we have financial loss.
Yeah.
In the case of the son, we have human loss.
Yeah.
People go out looking to regain lost property.
Yeah.
People work double shifts in order to regain lost money.
Yeah.
But very few people bother themselves about trying to regain lost son.
Yeah.
Lost daughter.
Yeah.
Lost husband or lost wife.
Yeah.
Or even lost friend.
Yeah.
This young man, in the case of the prodigal son, became restless, according to the story, and became a little impatient with the discipline and order and regulation of his home.
Yes.
Possibly his brother led a life that was too dull.
Wow.
Possibly the loving rule of his father was a little irritating.
Yes.
Yet he was young.
Yes.
And the blood of youth was dancing for anxiety and excitement in his veins.
Yes.
You understand, his heart had grown alien.
Yes.
Alien to his home.
Yes.
Alien to the traditional situation among his people.
Yes.
Alien to the things that were native to him.
Yes.
The far country of excitement beckoned to him.
Yes.
And he went to his father and petitioned him, "Father, give me all of the goods that fall to me."
Yes.
His father did not hesitate. He immediately divided his living.
Yes.
You understand? And gave the young man his share.
Yes.
And not many days, he took his journey.
Yes.
Into that far country.
Yeah.
Listen, if you please. He didn't go off looking for the young man. For the young man was lost.
Yeah.
Yes, he was lost.
Yeah.
I don't mean only so far as morals or so far as that which is spiritual is concerned.
Yeah.
I mean he was lost from himself.
Yeah.
So the record is that when he found himself in the pigpen,
yeah,
he came to himself,
yeah,
which means that he was not at himself,
yeah,
when he left home.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody here to share with me. You see, there are situations in life.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. I think sometimes,
uh-huh,
that adversity helps us to find ourselves.
Yeah.
Some of the folk who are sitting here listening to me have gone through experiences and know that there were times in your life when you thought you knew it all. When you thought that you could impose your way and your will on everybody. When you thought that it was right to be selfish. For you see, the first law of nature may be self first, but the first law of grace is others first.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight.
Go ahead now,
Doctor. Just if you please.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
And it took a little adversity.
Yeah.
It took a little sickness.
Yeah.
Or it took a little misfortune.
Yeah.
Or it took a little shake-up in your life.
Yeah.
To help you to find yourself.
Yeah.
You see, this young man did. You understand, his heart had grown alien. Alien to his home. Alien to the traditional situation among his people. Alien to the things that were native to him. The far country of excitement beckoned to him. And he went to his father and petitioned him, "Father, give me all the goods that fall to me. His father did not hesitate. He immediately divided his living. You understand? And gave the young man his share. And not many days, he took his journey into that far country. Listen if you please. He didn't go off looking for the young man. For the young man was lost. Yes, he was lost. I don't mean only so far as morals or so far as that which is spiritual is concerned. I mean he was lost from himself. For the record is that when he found himself in the pigpen, he came to himself, which means that he was not at himself when he left home. I wish I had somebody here to share with me. You see, there are situations in life. Let me put it this way. I think sometimes that adversity helps us to find ourselves. Some of the folk who are sitting here listening at me have gone through experiences and know that there are times in your life when you thought you knew it all. When you thought that you could impose your way and your will on everybody. When you thought that it was right to be selfish. For you see, the first law of nature may be self first, but the first law of grace is others first. I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight. Just if you please. And it took a little adversity. It took a little sickness. Or it took a little misfortune. Or it took a little shake-up in your life to help you to find yourself. You see, this young man didn't find himself until he had gone all the way from a palace to a pig pen. Pray with me if you please. Took his journey into a far country. For he was alien. Alien from God, alien from friends, alien from his surroundings and from his native home. The wild blue yonder call. And there was nothing at home that could satisfy him. Hence he took his journey into a far country. I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
My Lord.
Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and his goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me.
Well,
the Lord means anything. Let the saints of God say so. Pray with me.
Well,
if David was the author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences.
Yes, sir.
Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne.
Yeah.
Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand.
Well,
with courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him.
Yeah.
And yeah, he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past.
Well,
and began to think about those things that brought him over.
Yeah.
Had it been his skillfulness?
Well,
had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies?
No,
sir. It had been the Lord. Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from the obscurity of the dry and barren hills of Judah. To the throne of Israel.
Well,
here's a man who come up from the unknown and have faced the fear of giant Goliath.
Yeah.
Outside in the town of Succoth at the Valley of Elah.
Yeah.
With the soldiers of Israel arrayed on one mountain.
Yeah.
And the soldiers of the Philistines arrayed on the other.
Yeah. Well,
and this man who had been decorated for his valor and bravery.
Yeah.
Was walking between the mountains, exclaiming in loud tones of profanity, or exclaiming profanity against the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. You know how he requested audience with the king, and how he started out with Saul's own helmet on his head, Saul's own sword in his hand, Saul's own shield on his arm. But having no experience and training in this kind of a thing, he took them back and requested only his strength and God. You know the victory that he brought to Israel. And when he went marching back to the capital, the women along the way composed a new song. Since Saul hath killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. You know the jealousy that this aroused in Saul. And how Saul sought to kill him. And how he had to run and hide. And one day when there were a company of men coming in from the south. And another company closing in from the north. And another one from the east and another one from the west. And there was no escape for David. And God whispered to a spider. And told David to run in a cave. And told that spider to get busy. And web up that cave. And when the soldiers got there, God is my shepherd. Be left in war. That's what the man is talking about. I shall not want for companionship, for the Lord is my companion.
Father.
At the same passage, the 23rd Psalm. And when everything was gone, he began reading, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Yes, he does. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. You know, my brothers and my sisters, But you know I would lose my way. But for the fact that the Lord leads me.
Well.
But you see, the way of righteousness is a narrow way.
Boy.
The way of truth is a narrow way.
Well.
The way of love is a narrow way.
Yeah.
The way of justice is a narrow way.
Well.
Certainly the way of righteousness is a narrow way.
Yes.
And I believe that almost any of us would lose our way if it were not for God.
Yes.
But the reason why I do not lose my way always,
yes,
the Lord lead me.
Yes.
For the Lord is my shepherd,
well,
and
yes,
I shall not want.
Yes, sir.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Yes.
He lead me by the still water.
Yes.
He restores my soul.
Boy.
I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Lord, he lead me in paths of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, he's holding my hand.
When you're down in trouble, you need some love and care. Ain't nothing